This is a Triple J podcast.
When we hear about people's experiences of gambling, it's usually on the other side of a long battle with addiction, with the benefit of hindsight. But for every person who has overcome their addiction, there are so many others who are trying to get there right now. And you're about to hear from one of them. I'm Dave Marchese with Hack's Long Listen for the Week, a chat with Dylan. As a kid, he got a taste for gambling. By the time he finished high school, he was addicted.
I'd just been a cycle of borrowing money, paying it back, borrowing money and not going anywhere, not eating, just being in my room.
Soon, Dylan's whole life was about fueling his addiction. He was borrowing money from friends, even stealing.
Did the wrong thing and stole money from the people I was staying with, which is probably one of the worst times of my life.
Now he's determined to leave that life behind, and Dylan's documenting his journey on social media. He's going day by day. It's not easy, but he's convinced he can get there.
Today's day 14 of no more bets, which means it's my third milestone and it's been 14 days without a bet.
2 months, no bets. I never thought I'd get here again.
Today's day 141 of no more bets. Tomorrow is the first, a brand new month.
So what does it feel like to face this battle so publicly? Dylan wants you to know, and he also wants to send a message that gambling can destroy lives, despite what you might be seeing on your feeds.
It kind of made me sick in my stomach that all these people are promoting gambling, and like I felt like I had to share the negative side of it.
It's a big chat, and we cover a lot of heavy issues in this talk, not just addiction, but also suicide, self-harm. But it's important because it is so rare that we get to speak with someone who is in the thick of it right now. Here's my chat with Dylan. Dylan, thanks for joining us on Hack.
Hey, Dave, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Can you remember your last bet? I imagine you can. When was your last bet?
I just finished the gym workout and I went to go take cash out from the petrol station. I was on the way to the TAB and I got pulled over for being on my phone.
Did you know at the time that it was your last bet? Like when you were placing it, were you thinking this is it?
No, it wasn't, because it was a tennis tournament on, which was my favorite time of year. So I didn't think that would be my last bet. But that moment, getting pulled over, that was like a kind of light bulb moment that it was a sign from someone that that had to be the last time.
I know that it's really tough to talk about the worst of addiction. And obviously it was a long road leading to that last bet that you placed. But if we can kind of go back a little bit and explore just how bad things were, when did you realize that you had a gambling problem?
So before I was 18 and when I was 17, that's when I noticed I had a problem. For me, it started at a young age, just having like a few bets on Melbourne Cup Day, just picking like my own horses with the family for a bit of fun. But then in year 11 and 12, that's when I started to get gambling my lunch money in class and then using my mates' accounts to, because they were already 18, to put bets on and use family accounts. So I was already bad before I even turned 18, which is not a good sign.
So in high school, you were addicted to gambling?
At the time, I didn't think I was, but like looking back at it, during class, I would be betting my lunch money with mates and watching the basketball during class. And then even at recess and lunch, we'd be playing like a coin game against the wall. So like, and I was so into it. Looking back at it, the signs were there.
And what kind of betting was it? It sounds like it was a few different things, but was it mainly sports betting? Was it mainly one kind of sport? What was consuming a lot of your time?
Yeah, so for me, it was always sports betting, and then the races came into it. But at the start, it was always basketball and tennis. Tennis was my main sport that I would bet on, but I guess I love sports so much, so kind of was interested in sports. So yeah, sports betting and races.
Let's talk about how your gambling addiction progressed. So you talked about being really into it in high school. What happened when you finished school?
I was 17 when I finished high school and my birthday was in January. So I turned 18 in January and I still remember family birthday at my house and I went into the toilet and I opened up my own betting account for the first time. And then from there, just got out of control, having access to my own betting accounts and having just being able to bet on my phone all the time. And there's a moment in my life, which I'm not proud about. I was 18 and I got a opportunity to play cricket in England. And I haven't really spoken about this yet on social media, but I got a chance to play cricket in England and it got pretty much ruined because of my gambling addiction and I had to come back early.
What happened? Why was it ruined?
So pretty much I lost all my money on my travel card and in my bank account, and then I started to steal money and try to find any way possible to get my money back, and then did the wrong thing and stole money from the people I was staying with, which is probably one of the worst times of my life. And yeah, from there, obviously couldn't stay there anymore and I had to come back early.
And your dream was cricket at this point, I imagine.
Yeah, so I was always big playing sports, footy, tennis and cricket, and I picked cricket. And yeah, that was like a good chance for me to go overseas and play.
So you're over in England, you're gambling, you find yourself in a position where you're stealing money from people to fuel this gambling addiction.
Yep.
When did you find out that your opportunity for cricket in England was over? How did that come about?
Yeah, so my parents came over to come and see me and spend some time with me. And then, yeah, I still remember in the people's house that I was staying, my parents were there, and they got a phone call from the bank saying there's been some like suspicious, I guess, action on your account. And that's just like from that moment, that's when I knew I was like caught and that things would get worse. But I guess when I'm in that moment, you don't think about anyone else or about what you're putting them through. You just feel like you're kind of, what your mind's telling you, you feel like you have to give into it. It's just, it's hard to explain, but it just feels like impossible to kind of deal with at the time. And yeah, my parents were pretty shocked and very upset. So that's, yeah, still a hard time to think about because of what I put them through.
Are you able to say how, like, you were getting money, like how you were stealing money?
Yeah, so having my betting account, I just put their card details into my account and I'd be able to deposit, which sounds pretty crazy, even though the cards are under my name. And then it's embarrassing to talk about, but just, yeah.
And so what was the conversation when they realised that you'd been taking money from them?
Yeah, so I still remember the night before, my parents told me you better go and speak to them and tell them the truth, which I didn't sleep that whole night. And yeah, it was, I still remember being at the hotel we stayed at that night and then walking to the house that morning. I felt sick in the stomach, but yeah, I had to tell them the truth of what I did. And yeah, I was emotional and I felt, yeah, very bad. But I guess once you speak the truth, that's the most important thing to do. And they were pretty shocked, but they were understanding as well, which was a good thing.
Do you know how much money you stole from them?
Yeah, it would have been 2,000 on top of my head. And then I had no money. So then my parents, again, got me out of trouble, which if it wasn't for my parents, I would be in a very bad position. And they got me out of a lot of things, which I'm very thankful for. But yeah, that moment, my parents had to reimburse them. And then that was, I think the next week, I was on a plane ride home.
How many more years were you trapped in this gambling addiction?
Pretty much from 18, it was bad already then, but yeah, until I was late 27. So another 10 years of kind of going through the same thing, but each year will get worse and worse. Like the amounts will get worse and even mentally it will get worse each year.
What did your life look like at the worst of it? Like if you think back to that time.
Ooh, yeah. It was pretty crazy time. I even looking back at photos, as soon as my pay would come, I'd gamble it and then lose it all. Then I'd just be in a cycle of borrowing money, paying it back, borrowing money and not going anywhere, not eating, just being in my room pretty much all day, all night, staying up. And yeah, it was a pretty crazy time, especially during COVID and lockdown. That was even crazier. But you just get in the routine of gambling all day, 24/7 and not pretty much in your own bubble. You don't care about anyone else or about the world. You're just in your own bubble doing your own thing.
How was your personal life, like in terms of friends and stuff like that? Did you have a crew that you were hanging around? Were they also gambling?
For me, at a young like 17, 18, 19, I didn't drink. I didn't go out socially. Like I was very, like not a confident person. So again, for me, gambling was a way to kind of hide from those things. So yeah, I didn't really go out much until I was 22, 23. And to be honest, my friendship group didn't really gamble. Like it wasn't like a thing between us. But then over the years, with my behavior and lying to mates and I guess not being social and doing wrong things, I lost a lot of mates from my gambling addiction as well.
So you were having fights with mates because of the gambling?
Not so much fights, but I don't blame them. But like if I'm asking them for money and then not paying it back on time and then borrowing bigger amounts, then they probably got over it after a while. And yeah, I just, if I was in their position as well, I probably wouldn't want to talk to me either. So I don't blame them.
What about your relationship with your family? How did that continue?
Yeah, so I'm very lucky that I had a supportive family and yeah, I put them through a lot and they had every reason to like kick me out or not have anything to do with me. So I was very lucky that they've always been supportive and I've always had their support, which is a good thing and I'm very lucky.
In the worst of it mentally, what was going through your head?
Yeah, so in the worst times, like mentally, it was just, yeah, it was crazy. Like taking it out on myself, like yeah, I remember in bed at night time, I'd lose a bet and I'd like hit myself and punch myself and kind of take anger out on myself. And then a lot of years of not wanting to be here and just, a lot of self-negative talk. And yeah, it's just not healthy and not good.
You were thinking about it and you weren't hurting yourself.
Yeah, so after losing a bet, I'd have so much anger in me and I feel like I had to do something, whether it was hit something or break something or hit myself. And yeah, for me, doing that in the moment was like kind of like a relief of like, oh, that made me feel a little bit better. Like betting on my phone, I'd lose a bet and I'd like just get this rage. I'd piff my phone in my car or throw it on the ground or like just try and bend it. I damaged my whole car and people would come in and felt like someone had like broken into my car and damaged it, but it was just me from throwing my phone, throwing water bottles, punching it. It was just, yeah, crazy.
How many phones did you go through?
Oh, I reckon six or seven iPhones. Yeah, just, yeah.
Do you know how much money you lost, Dylan?
I think it's hard to, I guess, know, but if I had to say, it'd be around the $300,000 mark.
Wow.
And a lot of that's from loans and money from family and my own money as well, but a mixture of things.
How does that make you feel when you think about that amount of money?
Yeah, it makes me feel sick, to be honest. And you think about what you could have had and what you could have done with that money instead. And that's like, I guess, a tough factor, but you try to tell yourself that you can't change the past. And I guess you can get that money back if you do the right things and work hard. But I guess it's very tough to kind of look back and know that you ruined your prime years and lost so much money.
Were you actively trying to give up? Like, how many times do you reckon you tried to give up gambling, Dylan?
Over 10 times. Like, my longest streak was 6 months, which is a big achievement. And then that was through hypnotherapy, which worked for me and something that does still help me now. And I went into that session betting on the way to it. And then leaving that session, I felt like I didn't want to gamble anymore. And it lasted 6 months. And I felt really good and positive. But for me, anytime a negative thing happened in my life, whether it was an injury or sickness or something happened in the family, my way of dealing with it was go and gamble. It just doesn't make sense because you think that after what I've been through, I would know that gambling wasn't a good thing. But for me, it was like a escape to go and gamble and to distract my mind. I feel like for me, I was not very good with dealing with what I was going through in my head. So gambling was always an easy way out for me.
Can you tell me about like the account managers and their role?
It's crazy to talk about. Like, I reckon I've had every betting account in Australia, and in different ones I'd have account managers. Once they could see that I was a losing customer, they would message me and introduce themselves, and they would tell me to let them know when I was going to deposit. And yeah, some accounts I'd get every deposit matched 100%. I'd get bonus bets if I had no money to deposit myself. I'd get tickets to the races, tickets to the footy. And it kind of made me feel like important. It made me feel like I was someone special when really I was just a loser and I was losing so much money. But in the moment, they make you feel like you're special and they give you all these inducements and things which I think are pretty crazy and they shouldn't be allowed, really.
I want to explain this to people because they might not understand how it works, Dylan. So you're talking about actual people who are calling you up and having a conversation with you and encouraging you to, you know, keep betting.
Yeah, so a lot of them were owners in the company that would ring me up and introduce themselves and say that, yeah, anything I needed, they would help me out. And I remember, say if I wanted to deposit $2,000, they'd match it with $2,000 bonus bets. And I'd feel like, oh, how good is this? And I just, every time I deposited, I felt like I was someone special and I got all these perks when really they were only doing it because I was losing so much money. And there was even times where my behavior was that crazy. They would tell me that I have a problem and I need help and that I'm stressing out all the staff. But because I was a good customer, they still wanted to put up with me, which is, yeah, crazy.
So hold on. You're talking about people who worked for these betting companies recognizing that you were a problem gambler, but saying they wanted you to keep going.
Yeah, so one particular company, the owner actually rang me and said that I'm such a pain in the ass, sending so many emails, stressing out all the staff that I want to go to work. He even said that his son has autism and I'm harder to deal with than his son. At the end of it, he said, because I'm a good customer, he's going to keep putting up with it. In the moment, I was thankful because I was desperate to gamble, but looking back at it, it's like these people know that you've got a problem, but they do nothing about it.
Dylan, that's really hectic to hear.
I'd get a few 1 or 2 day bans. So I'd be like, they'd put like these little things in place. And that same company would give me every Monday a percentage of what I lost for the week as a bonus bet. So like, I guess encouragement of if I lost a certain amount of money, at least I get a bonus bet back on a Monday. And emails from another owner in the same company with like all caps saying like, this is your final chance. They make you feel bad, which is, yeah, crazy.
Then you decided to give up for the last time, you placed your last bet. This time was different though, because you made the decision to document your journey of giving up very publicly on social media. Why'd you decide to do that?
Yeah, so for me, the few months before going on social media, I kept seeing all these people promoting gambling for their own benefit. And like, it kind of made me sick in my stomach that all these people are promoting gambling. And like, I felt like I had to go on social media to share my story and share the negative side of it, because I feel like there's not many people doing that. And my motivation to do that was hopefully help someone that's out there struggling in silence, or to prevent someone from going through what I went through.
I mean, social media can be a rough place too. Like, there's obviously support there sometimes from people who are like, keep going, respecting what you're doing, but there can also be trolling. Has that been pretty hard?
There's definitely been a few trolls, like trying to take the piss out of me and telling me to have a bet and to do all these things. But at the start, it definitely got to me, but I've learned to kind of ignore them and know that why should I get affected by what they're saying, you know? So,
was it also about accountability? Like, you felt like you were in a much stronger position to give up if you knew that you were publicly having to face up to social media every week and talk about not betting?
Yeah, so it's definitely helped me as well to be accountable. And I guess if I think about placing a bet or have urges, I kind of think about what I'm doing and what my goal is. And I know if I keep gambling, then it's going to obviously ruin that.
Yeah. How many people are you talking to? Are there some others out there who are following your journey and also trying to give up?
Yeah. So I get inboxes, especially on TikTok and a few on Instagram, that, again, a young age, 19, 20, 21, and they're struggling. And they're saying that my videos are helping them. And then they reach out if they relapse, and yeah, I just try to talk to them and give them advice from my experience. And I know there's a lot of people out there struggling, and yeah, I'm just trying to help them. And if they reach out, just try to give them as much advice as I can.
Dylan, how big of a problem do you think gambling is in Australia, particularly among young guys?
In my opinion, I really think it's underrated how big of a problem it is at the moment. And even the other day, I got a message from Mark Kempster from the Alliance, and he told me that there's more people under 18 gambling than there is playing basketball, which is pretty scary. And I feel like for me, growing up as a kid, you kind of learn about drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and I kind of know the consequences and the negative side of it, whereas gambling doesn't get talked about like that. And I feel like the younger generation maybe grow up and it just seems normal and they don't really see the bad side of it. So I feel like that's a problem.
The impact that it's had on your life is obviously huge, mentally, financially, physically probably as well. I mean, you said that you're not working at the moment. Is that because you're trying to just focus everything on getting better?
Yeah, so I'm just, trying to focus on getting better mentally and be happy to be, I guess, alive and be happy in myself.
Dylan, there's a lot of chat in politics, especially about gambling advertising, because there have been, you know, big reviews in the past where it's been recommended to just put an outright ban on gambling advertising. So people aren't seeing that stuff on social media, on TV, and they're not feeling like they're being sucked back into gambling or introduced to it in the first place. What do you think? Do you reckon there should be an outright ban on advertising?
For me, it's pretty simple. Like, I feel like gambling addiction should be taken as serious as all the other addictions. Like, you don't see ads on about cigarettes or drugs. And yeah, to me, it's pretty simple. You just have to put gambling as in that category and ban the ads. Yeah, I definitely would love to see the government do more, but to me, it feels like it's getting worse and it doesn't really make sense to me why that's the case. I feel like simple things can be done to, I guess, have more stricter rules in place to protect people.
We've talked about like some of the negative stuff about how gambling has impacted your life. I want to focus a bit on how your life has changed for the better since you've given up gambling. Like, when you look at your life now and then compare it to your life a few years ago, what's changed?
So I feel like the most biggest change is just peace, like in your mind. Like, for me, I'd think about gambling 24/7. I'd go to bed, have dreams about my bets, and wake up thinking that was real when it wasn't. And then from the moment I wake up, it was like, I guess, a coffee. Like, I felt like I had to place a bet to kind of start my day. And then the whole day was just gambling. And then in a mindset of borrowing money, trying to find money, trying to win money back. That's just a crazy kind of routine. So I guess the biggest thing is just peace in the mind, and then being able to think about other things.
Are you proud of how far you've come?
Well, it's tough, to be honest. I get proud moments, but again, I think about the past a lot, bad things I've done and the time I've wasted and the money I've lost, which is definitely on the top of my mind at the moment, but it's slowly drifting the other way.
Is there anything you do want people to know? Like, if there's someone listening now who was in the position you were 5, 6, 7 years ago, right in the thick of addiction, and they're just feeling like they can't get out of it, that there's no hope for them, what do you want them to know?
For me, the most important thing is to speak up to someone and just to get it out of your own mind, because, yeah, it's definitely very hard to deal with in your own mind, and it's very hard to fight the urges by yourself. So please just speak up to someone that you trust. And I know from my experience, that's the first step to getting help.
Dylan, You're not sure if you're proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. I know a lot of people listening would be proud of you. Good luck with your journey, and we'll be staying in touch. Thank you very much for being so brave and for chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, some really deep stuff there. And a reminder, if this has raised any issues for you, Lifeline is always there on 13 11 14. The National Gambling Helpline is on 1800 858 858. It's free, confidential, available 24/7. And if you do want to follow Dylan's journey, if you think maybe it might help you or someone you know, he's there giving advice, chronicling his days, telling you straight exactly how it is and how he's going. You can find him on TikTok and Instagram at nomorebets.au, nomorebets.au, and you'll find him there. That's all for now. Thanks so much for listening. I'll catch you next time.